Remember this portion of the story of God as it is written in the book that breathes life. From Deuteronomy 26. When you go into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, then you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you will harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and place it in a basket, and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You will go to the priest who is on duty that day, and say to him,
"Today I declare to you, the Lord, that I've come into this land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give to us."
When the priest takes the basket from you and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God.
"A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt, and there he became a great nation. And that great nation was flowing with milk and honey.
When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice. He saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression.
The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm,
with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders.
And he brought us to this place, this land. He gave us this land flowing with milk and honey.
So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me."
Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and all the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord our God has given to you and to your house. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Oh Father, awaken in us a spirit of genuine gratitude. Help us to become intentional givers of thanks and to live Eucharistic lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we started talking about the giving of thanks, how to learn to live more Eucharistically. Our on-ramp yesterday was looking at the verbiage of Eucharist and how Jesus situated our disciplined recalling of his death and looking forward to his return in the context of thanksgiving. I'd like to entitle today's little chapel talk, "How to Give Thanks." You know, our culture loves how-to books. Do you like how-to books? I especially like the books, This and That for Dummies. Being something of a dummy in so many areas. But if you want to write a book that may have a chance of selling, it's good to put how-to in the front of the title. How to do this, how to do that. And God is gracious enough to us, he doesn't ask us to do something that he doesn't give us a how-to. And in Deuteronomy 26, we get very clear instructions on how to give thanks. It has to do with bringing an offering. It has to do with telling a story. It has to do with a celebration. My ancestor was a wandering Aramean. The Thanksgiving begins. My daddy was the son of Texas hill country cattle farmers, raising cattle, sheep, working in the fields. He went to Southwest Texas Junior College for Teachers College for a couple of years as World War II was beginning to get going. And my mom, who was living in the Houston area, went there too, and they met and fell in love, married. He went off to the South Pacific as the war was winding down. Then they migrated to Houston. And when I was about 4 and my sister was about 2, they decided that they might ought to think about Sunday school for these kids of theirs. And they visited a little Baptist church. That Baptist preacher came calling, led my dad to the Lord in our living room. I was 4 years old, and I can remember it today. My daddy was the son of Texas hill country farmers. But one day he met Jesus and was baptized into him. And then one of our ancestors became a wandering Aramean. We got baptized into a larger story. We all have a story that needs to be told. Even the difficult parts, the years in Egypt, the parts that are painful to remember are part of the story. You know, Janet and I were fortunate enough to work together in the same office, our Star Song music company, for quite a number of years. And working together can be, in close proximity, can be both a blessing and a curse. Probably more of a curse for her than for me, maybe more of a blessing for me than for her. But if things were difficult for her in the office one day, when we both finally got home and over the dinner table or while preparing dinner and maybe sipping on a glass of wine, trying to debrief from the day, if she had had a really rough day, she would begin to pour her heart out to me. She would tell the part of the story that was painful, the story of her day. Well, like any guy, I would start picking up the phone to start trying to address whatever the issue was. Whoever had offended her, I wanted to set it straight. I began to talk about what changes to make in the office tomorrow. And I heard this from her so many times. She said, I don't need you to try to fix it. I just need you to listen to me tell what happened and tell how I feel. She just needed to tell the story. A wandering Aramean was my father. And he went down to Egypt and became a mighty nation. And then became oppressed. Oppressed beyond belief. And then was led out. Our stories, our individual stories must be told, but they need to be contextualized in God's story. Our stories need to be swept up into His. And the giving of thanks and the telling of His story is part of the way that happens. I think it even happens with the Lord Jesus. A few years ago when Reggie Kidd wrote his wonderful book, With One Voice, he wrote considerably about Psalm 22 in that book. And I probably spent more time thinking about Psalm 22 while reading that book than I ever had in my life. I became convinced that Psalm 22, if someone were to ask Jesus to tell his story, I think what he would tell is Psalm 22. Now, we don't like to remember the earlier parts of the psalm. They're difficult to read. We want to start with... We want to start further down in the psalm. I'll tell your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I'll praise you. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. It ends in this wonderful outburst of doxology and praise and declaration of victory. But I'm convinced that the Song of the Lamb, it says in Revelation, that the Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb get sung forever and ever. We know what the Song of Moses is, and that's an exciting one to sing. The Lord has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider are thrown into the sea. I mean, that we know what the Song of Moses is. Scholars don't quibble about that. But everyone kind of scratches their head when it comes to what the Song of the Lamb is. I'm convinced it's Psalm 22. When Jesus sings his song for the eternal ages, and we join with him in singing it, hearing him sing it and join with him, my God, why have you forsaken me? They stripped me naked and they gambled for my clothes. All my bones are out of joint. I feel like my insides are melting like wax. I'm so thirsty, my tongue is sticking to the roof of my mouth. The horrors of his story, the horrors of Egyptian bondage, the horrors in my life when I had hidden sin in my life for several years in the 80s and put those that I loved through so much pain. But God led me out with a mighty hand, and I did taste deliverance. We must tell our story. It's part of the Thanksgiving. And we must contextualize it in God's story. I'm thankful that the Scripture gives us specific instructions on how to give thanks. Spend some more time at some point. You may not have time this week, but jot down Deuteronomy 26 and just write in the margin how to give thanks and contemplate what that means for you and in your life. I think there are seeds and foreshadowings and the resonance of the Eucharist is all over Psalm 26. And we're going to find that it goes back even further than that tomorrow morning. Please prepare your hearts for a season of silence.